good morning, and I welcome you to the Word of Life. I hope that you're a repeat listener for us. If you're not, if you're a brand new listener, I welcome you to the program. And we have, for several years, studied the Bible together here, and we have covered quite a bit of ground. I mean, there are times in the past when we've studied books like Book of Acts. We spent about a year and a half studying the Book of Acts on the program. We've studied the idea of the restoration of New Testament Christianity. The very Bible that we study right now, we have studied the coming of that Bible of inspiration of various things. We've been involved in this study for about a year and a half now in studying the life of Christ. And we're at the point of studying the last week of the life of Jesus, coming towards the Garden of Gethsemane and the time of the crucifixion. Now, these are very heart-wrenching moments if you understand what's going on. And if you don't, I hope that we can give you some light. Now, last week on the Word of Life, we were considering some of the words of Jesus that last night of his life, that is, the Last Supper. You've probably seen the picture where Jesus is in the middle. They're at a table and the apostles are gathered round talking to each other and things. Now, we're looking at the real account. Now, the picture's nice, but pictures aren't always true. So what we understand here is that we are listening to what Jesus had to say. Now, we left off last Lord's Day and looking at John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. And we were tying that together with an event that happened on the day of Pentecost less than 2 months after this. That is, after Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, spent time with them, and ascended to heaven. At that time, what we saw was that the fact that the early church was abiding in the apostles' doctrine, the apostolic teaching, came from a promise that was made here in John chapter 14. And there are two more statements of the promise we're going to consider today. And what we looked at in John 14 in verse 25 and 26 was that Jesus had spoken to them while he was there, and the Helper, the Holy Spirit, was going to help them to remember all the things that Jesus had taught them. Do you understand how hard it is to remember things? I'm sure that if you're like me, there have been times in your life when something slips your mind. That's what we call it. What we mean is we just lose it up in there. There's nothing, people say, there is nothing that goes into our mind that is not still there if we can just find it. Now, memory is an interesting thing. What Jesus promises is that their memory will be aided by the Holy Spirit. You see that in verse 26 of John 14. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, with that thought in mind, let's understand that when Jesus made a promise, he would either, number one, keep the promise, or number two, break the promise. The good thing about Jesus is that he kept his promise, and these men would be able to understand and to remember. Now, I, as a preacher, can't always understand and can't always remember, but they could. That's the provision Jesus made so that truth would be able to be shared with the early church, the church through the years, all the way down to today. You see, that's why the Bible is so clear in saying that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You can ask me that any day of the week, and I'll tell you that's where truth comes from. I would imagine that even if you had visited the congregation at Colcord and you asked Michael Ellis, where does truth come from? He would say it comes from God. Well, if you went over to Jay, Oklahoma, and visited the congregation there and were to ask Craig Richardson, where does truth come from? Craig would say it comes from God. The early apostles would say the same thing. You see, the truth that we have does not originate in the minds of the apostles. No, it originated in the mind of God, and it was given to the apostles, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, verse 26 tells us, they were able to sustain that truth, so to speak. This promise is repeated twice more in this dialogue of that night. In chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, Jesus intones these words. Listen to what he said. John 15, 26 and 27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, this is echoes of the same promise. the Holy Spirit would be helping them. The Holy Spirit would be guiding them in the things that needed to be said, the things that needed to be done. Now, you already understand this, don't you? Don't you understand that the apostles stood in a specific relationship with Jesus that you and I do not have? And we are not apostles. We are not the ones whom truth was given to in that sense that they received it. What you and I have is the written word of God. We have in our hands in this book the truth that God has revealed. And if you are willing to listen to what God has to say, then you don't need me. You don't need anybody else to tell you. You just need to understand what God says. I firmly believe that if a person has the heart and soul to seek God, that the promise Jesus made in Matthew chapter 6 will come true. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. Now you need to understand. That means that you have a responsibility before God, and that responsibility is not discharged by you listening to me. The only way you can deal effectively with the responsibility you have before God is to open this book up and read and soak up the truth of God. The apostles, remember, were not the origin of that truth. They were merely the conduit through which truth from God came to the early church and to those that were taught by them. Even those that refused, the truth was there. Same is true today. Now, I said that this was repeated three times. John chapter 14 in verse 25 and 26. John chapter 15 in verse 26 and 27. And now we look into chapter 16 beginning at verse 7. Now, this is a little more lengthy reading from verse 7 down through verse 15. And I want you to open your Bible if you haven't already and read this along with me. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Now look at verse 13 and listen again to the words Jesus said. "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Now, there is more that Jesus said, but do you hear those words? How many times have you heard people today saying that they have a new truth, a new revelation? Is it not enough to have what Jesus gave? Do you understand what we're saying? You don't need the religious writings of people. You don't need commentaries and all the various things. When it comes down to it, what's important is that you have the Word of God. Not that you have all those other things. Not that you have the best of theological opinions and things like that. But that you have what God says. That's why when you hear us talking on the program, or when you hear Michael Ellis over at Colcord, or Craig Richardson at Jay, or some other gospel preacher speaking, they will not tell you truth without, "Thus says the Lord." The authority is God. It's not the church. The authority is God. It's not the apostles. The authority is God. It's not the opinions of people. But it is what God says that matters in the end. For that's what you'll be judged by. Now, in a few moments, we'll continue our study. But right now, let's break and listen to a song.
Why should I feel discouraged?
Can you imagine now the confusion that must reign in the minds of these men as they listen to the words that Jesus is speaking? As he talks this night, the various subjects that come up, and we haven't studied the panoply of subjects that were in here, but the various things he says give them a foreboding feeling, probably, a feeling that something is about to happen. Well, that's an understatement, right? But they don't understand. You see, they haven't seen it yet. They don't know what it is. Now, later on in the book of Acts, when you see the apostles preaching and through the letters of Paul and James and Peter and Jude and all the statements that are made, we see that they have a better understanding of what was going on. And in fact, as John writes this gospel, from time to time, he'll make comments like, this is what Jesus meant. This is what was going on. But he didn't know it at the time. These men need some clarity. This is reflected in an incident that takes place right here in John chapter 16. Beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 24, we see that there is definitely confusion in the minds of these men in verse 17 and 18. We see in verses 19 and following that there is a clarity with Jesus that he tries to impart to them. Listen to the text as we read in chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. A little while, and you will no longer behold me. And again a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing that he is telling us? A little while, and you will not behold me. Again a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father, so they were saying in verse 18, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not behold me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Now let's understand something. These men were confused with a capital C and an exclamation point after it. As you look at the words there of verse 17 and 18, what you see is that they love Jesus and they want to believe what he's saying, but they have no heavenly idea of what it is that Jesus is getting at. Now, I pointed out a while ago, and I want you to hold on to this, that they would not stay in the dark. And actually, that's a fulfillment of a statement Jesus makes in verse 23 and 24. You remember where Jesus said there that if you ask anything in my name, it'll be given? He didn't mean if they ask for a Mercedes or if they ask for a rocket to the moon. He was looking at their understanding and the things that they wanted to know, because that's what's going on, isn't it? Didn't we just read that? And so as Jesus speaks these words, what he's saying to them is, you're not going to be in the dark all the time. It's like a woman that's struggling to give birth to a child who passes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring a child into this world. The pain of birth is forgotten when she looks in the face of the child that's born. When they see Jesus, their confusion will be ended. Their ignorance will become knowledge. Their knowledge will lead to faith. You see, this is what Jesus is trying to do, is trying to bring some stability into these men's life. Well, if you even think about John chapter 14 that we read last week on the program, in my Father's house are many mansions, and all the statement Jesus made, here is the one who is dying, giving comfort to the ones who are living. They needed to understand that Jesus was not abandoning them. I will not leave you as orphans. Remember John chapter 14, verse 16. He is not abandoning them. They don't understand that. They don't know where he's going. They don't understand any of this. The struggle that Jesus has in explaining is illustrated just a few verses after this. If you look down to verse 29, after a few more words that Jesus speaks, his disciples said, "Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. But this we believe, that you came from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" Well, yes, they did, and no, they didn't. And if you look at what's going on throughout the events of that night, you'll understand exactly what I meant by that. They had a basis of understanding. They were beginning to see a little glimmer of light. But the events of this night would test that understanding drastically. Would test that understanding to the point that they might fall away. Now we'll look at that in just a few moments. Right now, another song.
He hideth my life in the depths of his heart.
The weight of the world was now upon Jesus. He had felt this coming. He knew it was coming. You remember the events that led up to this, the times of struggle that Jesus had. He's not been to the garden yet for the prayers that we so famously understand occurred. But what Jesus does right now is pray. At the end of the statement that he makes to the disciples, Jesus in John chapter 17 begins a prayer that is called by many the high priestly prayer of Jesus. If you would indulge me for just a few moments, I would like to just read this prayer as Jesus prayed it. Listen to the words that our Savior spoke on the eve of crucifixion. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given to them and received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all things that are mine are thine. And thine are mine, I have been glorified in them. I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word. The world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me, and didst love them even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that you did send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them." As you look at these words of Jesus and listen to this prayer, I want you to realize something. Now, we're going to spend some time on next week's program talking about various aspects of this prayer. But I want you to see especially verse 20. Notice verse 20, "I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word." Let me tell you something. If you believe in Jesus, you are believing in Jesus through their word. And what verse 20 then tells us is that Jesus has prayed for you. He has prayed for me. He has prayed for you, those that believe in him through their word. Here on the Word of Life, we try to point these things out and make sure that you understand that God loves you. You read this gospel account. You listen to what happened. And next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we'll look at this prayer again. You be careful this week, and God bless you.